Hey, AWTR Male Spouse Squad, this is Maren Chaney, Army Wife Network Special Projects Coordinator. Each week, our mission is to empower military spouses, veterans, and family members around the globe, and we are inviting you to support us in that mission. After you listen to this week's episode, please head over to Apple Podcasts and leave us a 5-star rating and review. You can then send us a screenshot of your review to info@armywifenetwork.com, or feel free to send that screenshot in a DM to us on Facebook and Instagram with our handle @armywifenetwork to receive a special in real life gift as a thank you on behalf of Army Wife Network. We appreciate your engagement and support. And now it's time for this week's new episode.
Attention, male spouses, families, and service members. It's now time for another empowering episode of Army Wife Talk Radio, the leading and longest-running podcast of its kind. AWTR is here to engage, educate, and encourage you by sharing dynamic interviews, social media connections, news, and empowering military life information. Here are your AWTR hosts, your Army Wife Network command team.
Hello, 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 listeners. It is your favorite time of the week where we come to you with another episode of Army Wife Talk Radio. I'm your host, Molly Ritterbeck, your engagement ambassador, and co-hosting with me today is Maren Chaney, Special Projects Coordinator. We are looking forward to sharing some empowering segments and resources with you today. This is show number 814 of the leading and longest running podcast of its kind. And if I might add, it is an extra special one as we have not one but two interviews of some pretty high profile folks.
Thanks, Molly. And hey, everyone. As Molly said, we have some great stuff in store for you in this episode. It's a double feature, which is always super exciting. So first up, we will be sharing some of our weekly resources to help you excel in your male spouse life, because who couldn't use some extra help in this crazy, wonderful lifestyle? Then in just a bit, we will hear from Army Wife Network owner and commander Sherita Knobloch as she chats with T.C. Stallings, co-star in the recently released film My Brother's Keeper. You may know TC from his previous roles in Courageous and as a lead character in The War Room. Then later in the show, our second interview is with Ty Manns, who is the producer of My Brother's Keeper.
And I'm looking forward to hearing both of these interviews, and the movie looks incredible. Before we get to our interviews, Maren, I hear that congratulations are in order in your household. Maybe there's a new captain in town?
Yes, my husband got promoted 2 weeks ago, which was super exciting. Felt like a long time coming. Had a fun weekend celebrating him. It was pretty comical the day of his ceremony. I was trying to get all this stuff in order and trying to do all the things, and anything that could have gone wrong did go wrong. And it was a comical day. And then to even top it off, the ceremony ended up only being 7 minutes long because it was just him getting promoted. So it was just kind of one of those, I felt like I was, chasing my tail, but it was a really fun day and it was good to celebrate him. So that was fun.
And I think it always is that way, no matter what rank they are or what the situation is, you're chasing your tail for that 7 minutes.
Yeah, I know. And then it was my husband's a pretty low-key person, and I'm usually the one that's let's do everything as big and as bold as we can. So he was really trying to downplay the whole thing, was please don't do anything crazy. And I was okay, I'm actually gonna try and respect his wishes. And then 2 days before the ceremony, he was super excited and really pumped, and I was oh crap, maybe I need to reach this new level. So I took half day from work, and like I said, I was trying to do all the things, and I was just oh my gosh, this is too much. But it ended up being pretty comical, but it was a
hey, it'll be one to remember for sure.
Yes, definitely. This was probably the smallest part. I tried to print out this banner that I got, a template on Etsy, and our printer, it was the back was a camo print, and our printer ran out of green ink. So it started printing blue, and I was oh my gosh, it literally looks like he's in the Navy and not the Army. So I was oh man, but I hung beside it anyway, and it gave us a good laugh.
And now, as promised, folks, it's time for the double part of this week's double feature program by hearing from Sherita as she chats with screenwriter and major retired Terrence Ty Manns.
Hello, Army Wife Talk Radio listeners. I'm Sherita Knobloch, your Army Wife Network owner and commander, and it is an absolute joy to share with you the first of today's double feature interviews. Our first guest today is Terrence Ty Manns, retired Army major turned screenwriter. Ty enlisted in the U.S. military in 1980 and in 1987 was accepted into the Army ROTC program at Wright State University in Dayton, Ohio. Ty served as an Army infantry officer in tactical assignments in Germany, Korea, and worldwide from 1989 to 2003. Throughout his military and corporate career, Ty never lost his passion for storytelling, creativity, and filmmaking. In 1999, Ty met his friend, colleague, and mentor, Mr. Rick Bieber, former president of HBO Pictures. Through Rick's support and mentoring, Ty's filmmaking and storytelling, knowledge, and experience ultimately grew. Throughout the last two decades, Ty's worked various production companies and as a result has contributed to a number of films, including the tragic yet true story of Luke Abate in the Fifth Quarter, Pure Flix distributed film, A Question of Faith. One of his latest projects is the topic of our conversation today, the movie My Brother's Keeper. Ty holds a BA in business communications and an MBA in operations management with marketing concentration. He's been married to Mia Malvo Manns for 25 years, and they have two sons, 2nd Lieutenant DeLone Manns and Army ROTC Cadet Matthew Manns. We are so honored and excited to chat with you today, Ty. Welcome to the show.
Yeah, well, thank you. I appreciate being here.
Well, one thing that we've been just abuzz with here at Army Wife Network for the past few weeks is the film My Brother's Keeper, which is the topic of our conversation today. But before we get into the nitty-gritty logistics of that, I want to know, how did you go from being in the military to becoming a screenwriter?
Yeah, I get asked that a lot, believe it or not. But the funny thing is, I think I was a screenwriter in the military. Because even during my military days, I was wanting and desiring to be a screenplay writer. I was learning, even when I was in uniform. There were days when I would have buddies that would be out just hanging out. And, you know, we didn't have the internet back in the 80s when I first came to the military. I would be in the library reading a book on writing a screenplay. I think I was always a screenplay writer trapped in the military, which I absolutely loved every second of my military career. I'm just excited about the fact that I just didn't give up on it.
So it's kind of a situation of the chicken and the egg, which came first, military or screenwriter. Yeah. And it sounds like screenwriter's always been that underlying passion. And I am really grateful that it's carried through your military career. And now as you're branching out and doing even more films, your latest one is My Brother's Keeper, focused on the military. So how would you say that this film, My Brother's Keeper, is different than your other previous films?
Well, the big difference with this film is that it's based loosely on my father's return from Vietnam. So this film becomes, gets very personal to me. It's a story I've been wanting to write for a very, very long time now, but had to get up enough nerves to do it, if that makes sense, because it's roughly about what I, as a 10-year-old kid, back when my dad came home from the Vietnam War in the early 70s, is what myself and my family witnessed and lived through some of this. So, you know, every outburst scene you will see in this movie are taken and, you know, it's lifted right from the scenes we saw from my father. So this one is a bit more personal for me. I think we're still able to get a beautiful message in there.
So you mentioned that, you know, it's loosely based on your dad's experience coming home from Vietnam. And you said that, you know, you had to kind of work up the nerve to do this. So where did you get that courage, that inspiration to follow through with the story behind this film?
Yeah, I mean, you pray about it, don't you? You kind of stop every now and then and say, you know, when you start thinking about, at least for me, when I would start thinking about this story, I would just, you know, just stop and pray a little bit and ask God for a little, you know, the strength to do it. And, you know, I think one day when I was on the set of A Question of Faith, I didn't go on set that day thinking about this script at all. And I was standing there watching T.C. Stallings doing a scene, and it just kind of hit me. It was like, okay, if you're going to do this, that's the guy that needs to play him. And maybe an hour or two later, I was able to get TC pulled off to the side. And we had this conversation about this story. And he said, yeah, if you write it, I'll do it. A couple weeks later, I wrote it and sent it over to him. And as God would have it, he accepted the role. He loved it. And here we are today.
That is so cool. TC, he is one cool guy.
He's a great guy.
Man, he's so, so passionate. And listeners, if you're listening to this now, TC's interview is actually coming up directly after Ty's conversation. And so I've already had the chance to chat with TC in preparation for today's show. The cast for My Brother's Keeper is just mind-blowingly incredible. I was fangirling the whole time with TC and also with Keisha Knight Pulliam. So did you have the actors kind of in mind? You mentioned how your connection with TC was there on the question of faith. Did you have specific people in mind that you wanted to play these roles, or did it just kind of happen the way it happened?
Well, there were only two people. I say three people that I had in mind by the time I finished writing the script. I always went into it when I talked to TC that day, and that's a story you should ask him about. He loves to tell that story. when I talked to him that day, and I end up sending him the script, so I always knew, like, okay, I really want this guy to play this part. And then eventually, the bad guy, I had in the back of my mind Blue Kimball always for that, because I worked with Blue before. I was very blessed to give Blue his first feature role in a film years ago. And I always knew I wanted to do something with that guy again. He is such a dynamic actor. Mm-hmm. And then, of course, Greg Allen Williams, who was in A Question of Faith. And I just love being on set, period, with him. It's like a lesson in filmmaking and acting when you're on set with Greg Allen Williams. And for me, it's like I just sit down and take out my notebook and start writing notes watching him perform. So I always knew I wanted to do something again with him. So it just eventually came down to said, okay, these three people I know if we can get, I'll be happy. And as God would have it, and the blessings that we were given here is we started sending the scripts out to different agents, and Keisha's name was right there at the top of the list. We was like, let's try Keisha first, see what she'll say. And she came back and said, yes. Let's try Joy, see what he'll say. You make your list of who you want to talk to first. But we never made it to the second choice this thing. It was a blessing that everybody we sent to came back and said, oh, I want to be this character. Yes, sign me up.
Yeah, and I mean, I feel like this is the cast and the crew and the storyline matches with my current real life experience as a military spouse. But watching these folks, like, I grew up watching Keisha, you know, I grew up watching Joey Lawrence. I mean, like, he's in this film. And then in my early mil spouse career, watching TC break into showbiz and with Courageous, and especially The War Room, man, like that was just a movie that just blew it out of the water in such great ways, and watching how that has, you know, come alongside my own military spouse journey. So it's just like a culmination of so many beautiful God-given talents, ingredients, and story to bring light to a subject that I feel like is kind of, you know, tiptoed around sometimes, the PTSD and the church and faith and the military. It's tender ground. And I'm really grateful you had the courage to broach that topic and bring it into the light, something to talk about.
It really is. But again, for your audience and people that are hear this, it is a tough thing to write about, period. Mm-hmm. Because you don't want to you don't want to make it too out of the norm. You don't want to, so people look at it and go, that's ridiculous. That never happens, or it's so over the top. But at the same time, you don't want to make it too low, or
right
where people are going, well, it's worse than that. So you have to find that fine line and where you want to tell a story like this. Especially the challenge for me is it's Christian story, it's a faith-based story. So I have to figure out a way to be dark and be light in this story.
Right.
As I was writing it. But the story again is based on my father's journey in a way, because there became a point in our family's life when my mom said, I'm not doing this anymore. I'm not taking this anymore. And she packed us up and we went to our grandmother's. Now, of course, we didn't know anything about PTSD back then. Mm-hmm. We called it shell shock, is what we called it. My grandmother suggested to my mom and dad that they should go to church and get counseling. And they decided that that's what they wanted to do to save the family. And that counseling, when they walked through those doors and that pastor sat down and listened to them, that counseling led to my dad becoming a deacon, a minister, and then later a pastor in his own churches. So I was trying to find a way to fit this into that story in a way that just wasn't his own personal journey. It could have been anyone's journey. Mm-hmm. And that's why I wanted to have a character like Keisha in there that was helping him. Pops that was trying to keep him on the straight and narrow. Yeah, it was a hard story to write in some parts, but I'm praying that we're getting our message across and that is anybody can get help if you walk through a door.
Oh, Ty, that's just so powerful. And that's what I love about getting kind of the behind the scenes sneak peeks into, you know, this is not just a film on the screen. Like there is a story, there's a purpose. It's a battle of light and dark and good and evil and health and, you know, healing and all of that kind of stuff. And it's really just incredible because you've made the leap from watching your father, watching your family go through this to present day global war on terror. You know, that's kind of a big jump because PTSD wasn't a thing, like diagnostically wasn't a thing in the medical field until like 1980s. And even then they're like, I don't know, you know, where does this really fall? Well done on making that.
Thank you.
On making that jump. Talk about a lot of courage and, and heavenly insight for sure. The wisdom and discernment there. Tell us a little bit more about the filming process. What was it like?
So there's two parts for me when I'm on the set. If I'm not directing, then of course I kind of immerse myself into that part. But I didn't direct this film. We brought in Kevin Otto, who directed the film I wrote, A Question of Faith, to do this one also. Because again, Kevin's a retired, a former infantry guy himself. Mm. So, you know, we worked really well together and I want to bring him back for at least one more project. But for me as the writer, it's always great when you sit there and you hear words that you wrote on paper coming from these incredible talents. And there were a couple of times during production when I actually walked up to TC, when I actually walked up to Robert Richard or Keisha and said, hey, you know what? I didn't write it that good. And they'll tell you that when you interview, if you talk to them, they'll tell you, I should tell them stuff like that. Like, because I didn't. And you never know what you're going to get when the talent takes those words, right? And you're sitting there and you're waiting and a line of dialogue that kind of didn't really mean anything to you at the moment you were writing it. When you hear them say it, it just blows you away. And you're sitting back, you know, at least for me, I'm sitting back there going, oh my goodness, how great was that? You know, so I become a fanboy when I'm on set, if I'm not directing. And you know, as an executive producer, that's what I do. I just sit back and I just enjoy the moment because my heavy lifting is done. You know, you have to remember me as a writer, when I write, I have to be every character. When I write a story, I have to jump in and out of character every second, you know, every piece of dialogue. You know, I'm you right now, I'm someone else a second or two later. So it's kind of relaxing for me when I don't have to sit and do that anymore. I can just watch all the characters come to life through their actions.
It's like, you know, it's watching like something beautiful that's already been born, but you're watching it like grow and flourish maybe and be like, wow. You know, I have those moments where you're like, I don't think I wrote that. I did. I wrote it, but I didn't write it like that. And holy cow. Ty, I've enjoyed our conversation so much so far. I feel like I've already learned even more than I already knew about this really incredible film just in our conversation so far. So we're going to pop over to a quick commercial break. And when we get back, we'll talk more about your journey and the inspiration behind My Brother's Keeper, the movie. Listeners, if you'd like to connect with this movie, My Brother's Keeper, check them out on Facebook at MBK, the movie, or their website, mbkfilm.com. Now it's time for that quick commercial break.
Engage, educate, encourage, empower. Advertise. AWN has many opportunities for promotion of your brand, service, or product, including web creatives, blog posts, social media promotion, giveaways, and podcast audio commercials. Email empower@armywifenetwork.com to get started. We sincerely thank you for your support to empower military spouses, families, and their service members around the globe.
Listeners, we are back chatting with former infantry officer and screenwriter Ty Mans. It really almost goes without saying that seeking mental health and support within the military, unfortunately, is still a struggle just based on that stigma, Ty. However, your movie broaches the topic and shows that spirituality can play a really empowering role filling that gap. How would you say that the church can help people and family who are struggling with PTSD, or even just folks that maybe don't feel like they have a lot of hope anymore?
My dad had a PTSD ministry in one of his churches, and I always saw the good and would hear him talk about the good that came out of that. And I know there are some churches today that have military ministries. They may not be exactly PTSD ministries specifically, but they have military ministries. And those things help. They really do. They help a lot. But what I pray that people will, especially church members, will do and that will see this movie is understand just how critical having an ear to listen to. You may not need an entire ministry. You may not need an entire staff, but just when that door opens, and whether it's a military person or anyone suffering from anything, when they walk through that door, take a moment and listen.
Right.
Because if that pastor hadn't taken a moment to listen to my parents when they walked through the door, we probably wouldn't have been the family that we turned out to be. We wouldn't have been able to enjoy our father 30 plus years before he died. You know, we probably wouldn't have been a family of divorce. And so that one moment, that one decision that that pastor made when he turned around and saw my mom and dad walking in the church to just say, okay, sit and tell me what's going on. You just don't know how far that can go. And that would be what I would say to the churches is just know that someday somebody may walk through your door, and those few seconds that you take to make the decision to sit and listen to that person, it's not only save their lives, but it may save the lives of family members like it did ours.
Absolutely. And I think it's so important to maybe even emphasize that this is not only, quote, the pastor's responsibility, you know, as right. members of a church, as, you know, those of us who listen, who ascribe to that specific faith, it's all of our callings to right. come alongside people that are struggling, whether it's with PTSD or anxiety, depression, suicidal ideation. You know, we don't have to have the answers to fix it.
That's right.
Just as you said, Ty, just that listening heart to be like, you are seen, heard, cared for, and known. Let me come alongside you. Let me get you connected with someone who can help. Or, dude, that sounds really hard, but I love you anyways.
Yeah,
so far.
That's right. And you said it. We may not have the answers. And this movie is not an indictment on the military. I can say I spent 24 years in the military. My wife spent 10 years in the military. I got a son who just started his military career. I got another one that will start his career next year. So we love our country, and we love putting that uniform on and serving our country. We are a country. We are a family that serves. It's not about an indictment. It's about what I witnessed growing up as a child. Mm-hmm. And it's not about the church being the answer. It's about the church being a way to an answer. If you don't know where else to go to get help, if you're in that last, you feel like you just can't take another step, make that last step be through a church door. And that could be the journey that starts you on your way to getting more help.
Yeah, I don't feel like people at all would walk away with that impression, because it is so, you know, the character, Sergeant First Class Travis Fox, is so passionate about his job. And, you know, I'm married to an infantryman too. And so while I will, yeah, there you go. Why is the sky blue? Because God loves the infantry. That's Sorry, right. everybody else who's not.
the That's infantry. Right.
But we've got the mic, so we can do what we want. But, you know, I will never understand going into combat, because it's not what I was called to do. But I do understand, you know, I've tried over the last 12 plus years of loving my infantrymen to kind of get a glimpse into that brotherhood, that battle buddy mentality, but also the difficulty that comes with that I personally will never experience. But I personally have a heart and a passion for psychological well-being and mental health. And, you know, I am a believer as well. And so it's just like, okay, Lord, what is my calling in this? Like, what is my role? What does that look like? And it's going to look different for every person. So yeah, I don't think it's at all an indictment. I don't think it's saying nobody's failed. It's literally just the circumstances that people are trying to navigate. And it's new territory. We've never been, this is, you know, the approaching the longest conflict we've ever had. And we actually have the diagnosis of PTSD now. So it's like, well, now how do we deal with that? What do we do with it? And how do we overcome that stigma? So you mentioned, obviously, you have a long, long legacy of military service. You guys are passionate, patriotic from your dad, your wife, you, and both your kids now in the military. So you obviously understand the needs of military families. What are some ways that people in general can better support military families?
It goes back to community to me. It's, yeah, I watched my dad when we were young. He didn't wait for Christmas or Thanksgiving or something like that to entertain his military friends. Mm. He seemed to always be out seeking them. Well, where are you today? Why don't you be here tomorrow? We always had his buddies around once he crossed over and started following his faith. And that's kind of what we do today is my wife and I, they call our house the Kool-Aid house because we always make sure that no matter what, we see young people and say, okay, let's just have them come over to the house. We'll make dinner. We'll do this, whatever, to keep encouraging them to keep doing what you're doing or to tell them, hey, let me talk to you because I'm seeing what you're doing and it's not on the right track. And I just think that's what people in the communities can do. You know, you got young kids, maybe not sure what they're going to do. And if you're an old military guy like myself, take a moment and talk to them. If you got family whose spouses, husband or wife or whatever are deployed, kids are deployed, make sure you check on them. A knock on the door to go, hey, you know, hey, Pete, how's your son doing over there? Is he okay? Well, you know, keep us informed if you need it. Those few words can go so far.
That is one of the best things, you know, as a military spouse, that is one of the times where I feel most taken care of is people literally don't have to actually do anything. I mean, sure, you know, I might need someone to help with the kids sometimes or a casserole. I'll never turn down a casserole, man.
That's right.
You know, but sometimes just a text message or a phone call or, hey, you're on my heart today. How are you doing? How you holding up? You know, social support and that community can like be a game changer for deployment. My husband said when he was deployed a year or two ago, he was like, look, like we just PCS to Fort Bliss where we're at now. He's like, that's not an ideal situation. New duty station. And then he has to peace out for 9 months. But he's like, the reason I could go and do my job is because we had such a great church. And he knew that the kids and I would be taken care of. Like he could focus on what he's called to do because we're taken care of and supported here. And I think that says so much for all of us. So listeners, you know, as you work through this, think about it, watch My Brother's Keeper, think about that, you know, how to support other military families in seasons where you can, and how to, you know, maybe say like, hey, I need some support. Well, Ty, I want to know, what do you hope people take away after they view My Brother's Keeper?
Well, first of all, I hope they're entertained because that's why we make movies, right? Mm-hmm. We make movies to so that people can be entertained. And I think it is an entertaining movie. I believe it's a great story there that, you know, folks will be able to follow. I just had a movie that started on BET last week, Thursday, that I directed, co-wrote and directed. And my biggest fear out of all my movies is if people will come back and go, oh, what a great story. Because that's what I wanted to be initially, a great story. Mm-hmm. And the next thing I hope they'll get out of is just, again, when we talked a little earlier, is that just know that there are people that need help. And sometimes the best way we can help them is just listen to them. And if for the people that need help, take that last step toward somebody or something that can keep you going another day or another week or another year. It's not a heavy movie. I don't want your audience to think that we've written this heavy melodrama. It's not, but we are dealing with PTSD, so just know that.
It's a heavy topic, but you present it in a way that is realistic, and you know, you portray the gravity of the situation, but it has such underpinnings of hope, which I think is such a big deal when it comes to talking about, or you know, tackling conversations like that. It's not without hope, and the hope is so encouraging and so empowering from the church, from a faith and spirituality perspective, which leaves that lasting feeling, I would say, in the viewer's mind, heart, and spirit.
Thank you. I'm going to use that. Can I use that? I've never heard it described like that
before. Oh, well, sure. There you go.
But I think, yeah, you nailed it.
Well, good. There you go. Like, I've accomplished something productive today in addition to this conversation. I'll just go take a nap when we're done with this.
You gave me a talking point that I'll use. I love it.
Yes, you absolutely work from that angle. No credit necessary. Credits, glory to God there.
There you go. Thanks.
Well, Ty, our time together is about to wrap up. Before we finish this conversation, could you please remind our listeners where they could go to find even more empowering information about this film, My Brother's Keeper, as well as your personal screenwriting journey?
Yeah, so mbkfilm.com is the best place to go right now. We have the theaters. They just put on there on that website what theaters have already booked the movie. And I know some people have come back and said, hey, why isn't it playing here? Why isn't it playing there? This is just the initial release of theaters that's booked the movie. Bookings will continue all the way up to release date. So we still got a good month of bookings that will happen. But MBK Film, and it's also now on that website where pastors can actually go there and book that film for their churches. If they don't want to go into the theaters, they can actually book it and show it in their churches. So all that's on that website now. That is the best place to go find out anything about mbkfilm.com. And as for me, it's, you know, what little there is to tell and know about me, it's on Man's Mackie, S-M-A-C-K-I-E studios.com. Man's Mackie Studios, that's Man's with an S, M-A-C-K-I-E.com. I'm truly, Mia, myself, the boys, the Man's Mackie team, we are just truly grateful for people like you for taking time to do this type of stuff for us.
Well, it is absolutely my pleasure. So again, listeners, I want to remind you, if you want to find more about My Brother's Keeper, just keep up to date with the website mbkfilms.com. And actually, by the time this podcast interview airs, the release date will have passed. So everyone, keep your eyes peeled. Look online for this showing near a theater near you, or availability to share it in your church as well. Ty, our primary mission here at Army Wife Network, as I've mentioned a few times throughout our conversation, is empowerment. So I really enjoy learning from our guest what they think empowerment is. Could you complete this sentence? Empowerment is?
Yourself. That's how I look at it. And I looked at that way in my military career. You have the power to chart your own course. If you don't do that, and you allow someone else to do it for you, you may not ever get to the objective that you have in your mind, or you may not even know what objective is out there waiting for you. So I've always started you look at the screenwriting thing for me. Again, I started studying this stuff years ago when I was enlisted, and I got out and stayed with it. But it got to a point where I was like, okay, nobody's going to stop me now. I'm going to make this happen. Had I allowed some of the whispers in my ear to get in the way, I wouldn't be where I am today. Had I not allowed myself to continue to pray and ask for not the success that we're having, but the knowledge to get to success, because success can roll any way, right? It could be good or bad. What I prayed for was the knowledge to be able to do what I wanted to do. And God gave me that knowledge, and now that's how you empower yourself. Make sure that you can do what you want to do. And if that means praying for knowledge, if that means praying for the right person to be put into your lane to help you, pray for that. Don't pray for the success. Just pray for the way to get there. And then you will be empowered.
Really, really solid advice. I think that's something that we all need to hear, because I think sometimes we are like, I just want to be successful. But successful has a lot of different definitions and sometimes has a lot of connotations, but instead just get me to where I'm supposed to be. Let me stay on the right path, even if it looks a little different than what we originally thought. I think that's very salient for all of our military spouses listening, because we, you know, live by that no plan plan, and things change moment to moment, day by day. Right. So success is going to look different for everybody. But absolutely. Ty, I'm so thankful for your willingness to share your story, the story behind the story for my brother's keeper, your time here. And I hope with all my heart that this film is a smashing success, and the people that need to see it, hear it, watch it are the ones that do so. So we wish you the best in that. Thanks for being our guest today.
Thanks for having me. God bless you guys.
Thanks so much, Ty. Listeners, again, be sure to connect with them online, mbkfilm.com, or you can also check them out on Facebook. So for now, don't miss this great film, this great movie. We thank to Ty Mayans for writing the story, and for Keisha Knight Pulliam and also TC Stallings for starring in these films and also sharing their heart with us here on Army Wife Network. So now let's pop right back over to our studios for more from our hosts.
Definitely, like, if I hadn't heard this interview, I never would have known that he based this movie off of his dad coming home from Vietnam and kind of his perspective with his dad dealing with PTSD and just kind of the transition for that family. So that is so cool, because I probably wouldn't have looked at it in that light watching the movie now knowing that.
I think it's neat when you can kind of flip the script a little bit instead of it being from like a spouse point of view, but like when it's written from his actual experience from a parent, I think it makes everyone think a little bit.
Mm-hmm. Definitely. Yeah. He really like paid attention to like putting that like real life detail as opposed to like someone who's, you know, farther removed.
Yeah. And I think he's a great pairing for TC, how, you know, he's been there, done that, and he has a character who researched it to make sure he could pull it off. I think they work very well together with this.
Yeah. I love too that he was like, when I saw him, you know, running lines, I was like, that's exactly who I need for my lead, which is really cool.
Yeah. I tell you, it is such a privilege to share empowering interviews with our Army Wife Network fans and followers. Now it's time to hear from our AWN empowerment agent, Amanda Bicknies, who always brings us an amazing weekly empowerment report.
Hello, Army Wife Talk Radio listeners. I'm Amanda Bicknies, bringing you this week's Empowerment Patrol Report. Today, we are showcasing two of our volunteers who are MRE winners, which, by the way, that stands for Motivated and Ready to Empower. First up, we have Sarah Peachy, our content editor here at Army Wife Network. Sarah is a journalist from Southern Pennsylvania, currently living in the Midwest. She lives with her husband of more than 10 years and their three children. Sarah began a career in journalism with the Fort Polk Guardian, an Army installation newspaper, winning three state awards for her work. Her work has appeared on MilSpouse Fest, the Homefront United Network, Military.com, Spouse Buzz, and Army News Service. She consulted for Military OneClick, now known as MilSpouse Fest, and help launch the site #MilitaryVotesMatter, providing up-to-date information important to service members, veterans, and their families in the 2016 election. When not writing for military spouse support sites, she is currently working on her first novel while also volunteering as Army Wife Network's content editor. When she can carve the time into her schedule, she writes about parenting, travel, books, and politics on her website, Keep It Peachy. You can find her at Instagram at Keep It Peachy. Next up, we want to recognize a member from our band of bloggers, Kathleen Palmer. Kathleen has been an Army wife for more than 21 years. It is a role that she never envisioned for herself, but now she can't imagine not being a part of the Army life. She holds many titles: teacher, coach, adoptive parent, writer, volunteer, and a lover of the Lord, her family, and her friends. Kathleen is always ready with a patient ear, a big heart, and a strong cup of coffee. She has been writing for many years, but just recently decided to share her ideas with the world. So much thanks goes out to both Sarah and Kathleen for doing their part to empower military families all across the globe. Until next time, I'm Amanda Bicknies, reminding you that we are never completely alone on this military life journey.
Congratulations to Sarah Peachy and Kathleen Palmer. We will be in touch with you soon to coordinate prize distribution. Listeners, if you or someone you know is empowering those around you, please head over to armywifenetwork.com to nominate them. On our website, look under the menu tab for the Get Involved and click Everyday Empowerment or AWN Empowers. You can also view our previous winners for 2020 and 2021 in our Empowerment Gallery. Now, let's check in with this week's top stories from our incredible News 6 correspondent, Jolene McNutt, who has some new information to share with us all.
No news is typically good news in this military life,
except on Army Wife Talk Radio.
So here is our AWN News 6 correspondent with this week's top stories.
Hi, Molly and Marin. Here are this week's top stories. Last week, the Senate Foreign Relations Committee met with Biden administration officials in a closed briefing to discuss plans to withdraw all troops from Afghanistan. Additional congressional committees held sessions with leaders from European Command, Central Command, and Africa Command as they work on the defense budget for fiscal 2022, reported Military Times. Various topics were addressed from budgetary concerns, a China censorship monitor and action group, Veterans Affairs, and the Pentagon's cyber workforce. Learn more at militarytimes.com. A Fort Riley school district has been awarded a $24.3 million grant to build a new elementary school. According to the Department of Defense, upon completion, the school will serve up to 390 students, pre-kindergarten through fifth grade, and address capacity and facility condition deficiencies. The DoD shared that the grant funding was provided by the Department's Public Schools on Military Installations Program, and the money is awarded based on facility needs. Read more at defense.gov. Washington, D.C. has a new memorial, the National World War I Memorial at Pershing Park. The memorial was opened on April 6th during a first color ceremony, reported military.com. Let's remember all that was sacrificed, all that was sanctified by our proud, brave Americans who served in World War I, said President Joe Biden. The memorial was designed by architect Joe Weishaar. Looking at those photos, the thing that struck me was that everybody in them was 20 to 25 years old. And at the time, I was 24 or 25 when I submitted the design, and so it resonated with me, Weishaar said. To learn more, visit military.com or worldwaronecentennial.org. Your local exchanges might be seeing an uptick in action in the coming weeks. Nearly 600,000 civilian employees who work for the Defense Department and the Coast Guard will now be able to shop in the stores, which are sales tax-free and offer some discounts compared to major outlets, reported Federal News Network. The Department of Defense authorized the new customers on April 12th, and stores have 30 days to comply. Online shopping will also become available to those civilians who retired from a military department or the Coast Guard, although they will not have access to the physical stores. There are some additional restrictions. The new shoppers will not be allowed to purchase tobacco, alcohol, or military uniforms. Read more at federalnewsnetwork.com. And this week in history, on April 27, 1810, Ludwig van Beethoven wrote the famed Für Elise. This short composition written in A minor is one of the most recognizable pieces of classical music in the world, according to HoffmanAcademy.com. Beethoven had already begun losing his hearing a decade before he wrote Für Elise. This easy-to-recognize composition isn't just for budding pianists. It has been featured in countless pop culture moments from TV shows that include The Simpsons, The Sopranos, and Modern Family, where Phil Dunphy played it in a recital while his daughter Haley was in labor watching. It was also used in commercials for Doritos, GMC Sierra, Adidas, and McDonald's. Find the link to all of our News 6 reports at armywifenetwork.com. This is your Army Wife Network News 6 correspondent, Jolene McNutt, signing out.
Jolene has a desire to bring us the most up-to-date military life news to make sure we are as informed as we can be, and it absolutely never disappoints, Marin. She finds the news that we need and we want to hear. So thank you, Jolene. And now, as promised, folks, it's time for the double part of this week's double feature program. Everyone get ready for this one. Cece is bringing the heat with this story.
Well, listeners, you're hearing my voice again, which can only mean one thing. It's double feature interview day. I'm Sherita Knobloch, your Army Wife Network owner and commander. And for this portion of our interview segment, we will continue the conversation about the new faith-based military film, My Brother's Keeper. I am absolutely thrilled to welcome lead actor in the movie, T.C. Stallings, into today's conversation. T.C. is a former professional athlete and model who is now finding incredible success in film and television. After a very successful athletic career and then various opportunities in front of the camera, T.C. landed his biggest role up to that point. In 2009, after a successful Skype audition from the living room of his Louisville, Kentucky home, T.C. made his feature film debut in the 2011 hit movie Courageous, portraying the memorable character T.J. Following this feat, T.C. gave up a successful personal training business in Louisville and headed for Hollywood. After a few months of auditioning, T.C. would land two commercials followed by three more film roles. But T.C.'s career reached new heights with his breakout performance as Tony Jordan in the 2015 hit film War Room, which soared to number one at the box office. He would later land a nomination for Best Actor for his lead role in God's Compass, followed by Best Actor win for his supporting role in Unbridled. T.C. also found continual success in booking TV commercials, with two of them being featured during the 2016 Rio Olympics and 2016 Super Bowl. In 2019, his production company, Team T.C. Productions and Purpose Studios, reached a milestone when he wrote, directed, and self-produced a documentary called 24 Counter, The Story Behind the Run, which received a Film Festival nomination for Most Inspirational Documentary. In 2020, T.C. also became an executive producer and showrunner for the newly formed PAX TV network launching out of Dallas, Texas. T.C. is also a nationwide brand ambassador for Clearplay, a company with the mission of providing families with clean, wholesome entertainment options. T.C. is a wide-ranging actor, plus a huge advocate for clean family entertainment, and enjoys creatively getting involved in philanthropic efforts around the world. Thank you so much for joining us, T.C. So excited for you to be our guest on Army Wife Talk Radio today.
I appreciate you. Thanks for having me.
I've absolutely admired all your roles. I remember watching Courageous in theaters with my husband back in the day. We were newly married, military couple, and now you've just traversed the gamut from Super Bowl commercials and now with this new film that's dropping, My Brother's Keeper. So would love to learn more about that. What drew you to the story of My Brother's Keeper?
For me, mainly, it was just in the beginning, initially, it was the way that it was presented to me. You know, I was just honored that someone, well, maybe I should give a little backstory. Ty, you know, comes to me on the set of A Question of Faith. And I had a small part in that film. We were taking a break and Ty came up to me at the craft table where we were eating snacks and introduced himself officially. And then that's when he told me about My Brother's Keeper at that point. And had let me know that he had written a character, the lead character, with me in mind. So right away, that is very, very significant in this business when somebody does that. So that intrigued me right away that he thought of me for that. And then, you know, he gave me the script and then I read it and then I saw the challenge of the script. And that's the next thing that's going to grab any serious actor is just, this is one of the most challenging roles that I've ever had in my life. And I knew that reading it because it dealt with PTSD and it dealt with being a soldier, two things that I had no experience with. So I knew it would require some cool research and having to be convincing and believable. And so when I looked at all of that, then you read, you know, and complete the story and see the impact that the message could have. And then you look at the cast. When I find out who's going to be in it, I'm just like, man, this has all the makings of being something great. So that's what drew me to it.
What made you want to, I guess, say yes to something so challenging? Because I feel like the intersection of PTSD and spirituality is kind of something that hasn't really been touched on a whole lot. So what was your motivation for getting involved in something like that?
For me, when you first get started in acting, I mean, you'll depending on how you get in. I know for me, I was willing to take, and when I say take anything, I don't mean anything in terms of something that I would be ashamed of, but I mean any role that was just a good solid role. But as you kind of go through this for a while, I got to the point where I wanted to take on roles that really stretch you out. Because if you achieve it and you really come off as believable, then I know it's going to be very, very impactful for everybody mm-hmm. who's watching you and can take you to another level. So when I was just reading through everything, I'm just like, this is going to stretch me in such a way where I can't just draw on things that I'm used to or things that I've drawn on from before, or just be myself, which, you know, a lot of times you get roles where it's the character is so much like you that you really can just be you. It's not even that much acting. But for this, I really, really, truly had to step out of myself and be somebody else completely. And that is what really excited me about doing it, because if you pull it off, you know, not only do you prove to yourself you can do it all the time, you can do it, it gives you confidence for the next role, but I look forward to hearing from those who see it and hear them say, I believed you and mm-hmm. I was convinced. And that's just, that task is exciting to me.
Well, I believed you and I was convinced as I watched it in my living room with my husband.
Well, thank you.
Because I think it is so hard to accurately portray that and PTSD, especially mm-hmm. From a service member's perspective. It's so different for every person, and I really appreciate the film kind of pressing the envelope and taking it pretty far. You know, I don't want to give any spoilers away or anything to our listeners, but I think it is shown in the trailer, you know, just how intense and how great the struggle was for the character, Sergeant First Class Travis Fox. Mm-hmm. Can you tell us a little bit about that role that you played as SFC Travis Fox?
Yeah, Sergeant First Class Travis Fox, you know, decorated veteran, you know, he's been through, you know, combat and he has a, you know, a very, very solid military career. And, you know, he has the situation where he loses his friend in combat, and it's that was already enough. It was very mm-hmm. traumatizing for him. It just so happened that this is one of his friends that would talk to him about the Lord all the time. And it's just my character wasn't necessarily gravitating towards that. And he has his reasons for it, as you'll see throughout the film. But when he goes home to bury his friend, this is where some situations that he deals with causes him to see like, whoa, I got another battle I need to fight. Mm. And it's PTSD. And so when he really discovers that this is going to be a problem for him, the audience gets to see how he deals with it. And it really drops on him hard, like a ton of bricks. And that's what the audience is going to be able to see, is just how out of nowhere, you know, you can experience, you know, whether it's a flashback or whether it's a nightmare or just everything that comes along with it. And just doing the research for this was just, it's almost heartbreaking, because these are real stories that I'm seeing.
Right.
And, that's kind of how I got up for it, by doing research and talking with people who actually have been through it. But man, I got to tell you, I'm happy to be a part of it, because hopefully when not only do you come away from the message of the film, but you think about those people who are out there dealing with this on a daily basis, and you kind of, you know, you pray for them, and you know, if you can ever help in any way, you absolutely give your heart to it.
I can only imagine the challenge. Like you've mentioned, you know, this role really stretched you, because you personally don't have any military combative experience or necessarily PTSD. But, you know, you mentioned talking about meeting with other combat veterans, getting their personal experiences, how that's almost heartbreaking. What other resources did you use, or what was that experience like as you pressed in to really get a firsthand viewpoint of what a combat veteran goes through when they're struggling with PTSD?
Yeah, the internet is a beautiful thing. Mm-hmm. That's all I can tell you. It was just like, because, you know, just like how we're doing this interview now, and you know, in some of these radio interviews and some of these you know, television interviews, if you ever were to you know, go on YouTube or Google or whatever, and you look up, you know, military veterans telling their stories, or military men and women telling their stories of PTSD, you will get plenty. It is mm-hmm. like, we really don't have no excuse for not knowing about it. And when you sit there and just listen to this man or this woman sit across from the interviewer and just really tell their stories, and you see some of them come into tears, you see some of them, the wives or husbands or daughters or sons or fathers and mothers are also giving their input on things that they've seen happen. And these, you know, remember when you did this or when this happened or when you almost lost your life here, or did, and you just hear them tell it. And then they start crying because either they're still going through it or they're just happy that they were kind of recovered from it. Some of them will tell you that, you know, it's something that they don't think will ever go away. You just got to learn how to deal with it. Mm. And so to sit here, that was like me interviewing them, because they look square in the camera and a lot of times and they're talking, or they look just off camera talking to the interviewer. But I feel like I've asked you these questions because basically that's why I'm here, is to find out about all these things. So that was my way, literally interviewing these people and getting their versions of it. And then, of course, you got Ty Manns, who his whole family's in the military. So mm-hmm. all of the more technical things, like getting the uniform right, mannerisms right, the way you salute, the way you wear your hair, your facial hair, just all the little things that help you be authentic, you know, that came from him and other veterans that were on set. And then also for some things I studied online. It was an interview for a totally different project. I got a chance to talk to some amputees in person and hear their accounts, you know. So from that standpoint, I got a chance to get all the information that I could possibly get to, you know, hopefully give a authentic portrayal.
Well, I feel like, again, you did a pretty wonderful job just because, you know, I watched it with my husband and mm-hmm. he's, what, oh my gosh, 17 years? Gosh, 17 years active duty, that escalated quickly. good grief, you've been around a while.
Right. Well, was, oh man. If he said it was good, then that
yeah. Because he watches military movies very critically. He's like, nope, that's not right. Hair's out of reg. You know, that's mm-hmm. his favorite thing. It's like, where's Waldo for him? And so I really appreciate the intentionality you guys approach the movie with, to be like, hey, man, we got to get this right, because it has to be believable. Because right. even though it's not necessarily like specifically about one person's exact experience, it's like a collective experience, and really thinking how post-traumatic stress disorder is a relatively new phenomenon in the psychological world. Of it was only a real diagnosis starting in the 1980s. So mm-hmm. it's only been around for 30 something, you know, 30-ish, 40 years. And the fact that it's getting so much, I wouldn't say publicity, but so much recognition as an issue is mm-hmm. kind of like good, bad news. You know, it's an issue, but people are talking about it, which I think is really, really huge. Well, TC, I've loved our conversation so far and can't wait to pick it up in just a few moments after this quick commercial break, all about My Brother's Keeper, which once this interview goes live, My Brother's Keeper will have been available for the last month or so. So everyone, be sure to connect with that in person or online. You can check them out on Facebook at MBK, so My Brother's Keeper, MBK, the movie, or on their website, mbkfilm.com. If you'd like to connect with TC, go to tcstallings.life or Facebook at RealTCStallings. Now it's time for that quick commercial break. We'll be right back.
Need more information to engage, educate, encourage, and empower you in your military life journey? At ArmyWifeNetwork.com, you can find more than 2,000 blog posts about deployment, PCS, Army life, health, and more. You can also check out our most popular resource, Post with the Most. Aaron from Fort Riley says, I use AWN on a weekly basis to get the support my family and I need to thrive in this military life. Tap into all of our empowering resources at www.armywifenetwork.com.
Listeners, we are back talking with the lead actor in the movie My Brother's Keeper, T.C. Stallings. T.C., you mentioned this at the very beginning of our conversation. One of the things that drew you to this movie and helped you to say yes to this opportunity, as far as the cast and the people who were called to portray different actors and actresses in the film. Mm-hmm. So the cast is really pretty amazing. What was that dynamic like on set?
For me, it was fantastic, just because everybody had a lot of experience, and everybody was just, like I said, they've been around that well, you know, traveled and just talented. And, the camaraderie was really, really cool, you know. And for me personally, a lot of the people that I was in scenes with, you know, I had seen them acting when I wasn't even an actor or nor really thinking about it. You know, I was a football player, you know, I played pro football and I had no aspirations to, you know, become a professional actor. You know, I'm not sitting here, you know, and when I'm a kid having dreams of being on stage or on film with any of them. My goal was to be in a stadium somewhere, you know, shaking hands with Barry Sanders and some of my other heroes. So for me to get on set and see all of these people that, you know, at one point or another, I was a little kid watching their sitcoms or, you know, I just grew up with them. We're the same age, but they're acting and I'm playing football. To then just see time pass and, you know, years later, here we are trading lines. And then for us to be all in one movie, you know, I go from one sitcom to another sitcom to another sitcom that I've watched growing up, but now we're opposite each other doing our scenes. So it was just a really cool thing for me for everything to come full circle like that. But, you know, I always look at it like this. At Thanksgiving dinners are filled with a bunch of really, really good dishes. You kind of don't want neither dish to be gone. You know, if the macaroni and cheese ain't there, you know, it's like all the other food's great, but wow, that macaroni and cheese. You got your turkey. You got like that. There's a whole bunch of great dishes that make that plate great, you know, and that's kind of how I felt that, you know, I was given the lead. So I'm like, you know, the turkey, whatever the main thing there, but when you get surrounded by all, if you have a whole bunch of terrible side dishes, it's just like, oh, it's messed up. They surrounded me with some of the best actors that you can find. You know, I said, man, if I mess this up, there's something wrong with me. So I had a great, you know, that's a great plate. Let's put it that way. And I'm glad to be one of the, now we're talking about Thanksgiving. See what you done.
Now I'm hungry. Like, I'm already like, what are we doing for supper tonight? Maybe I should go get a turkey and some mac and cheese, man.
Right. This conversation went in a whole different direction. But yeah, that's kind of how it feels. It's just, you know, it's just my way of saying that everybody was just really, really great. And there wasn't a bad meal on the dish. And I'm just glad to be a part of it.
I think that's such a fantastic analogy because we can relate to that. You know, so many of us, myself included, we're not going to be on the big screen because we're the same. We don't necessarily have those aspirations or we're not called to that in this life, and that's okay. But we certainly relate to, you know, having a beautiful bite of everything and how different ingredients come together to make a really great recipe or a really fantastic meal. I feel like we see that in mill spouse life every day as well, as far as, you know, the different dynamics that we have with people in our tribe for our battle buddies. Mm-hmm. And so that's just really neat that you got to come alongside them. They came alongside you to present a message that I personally feel like is so important for all of us to hear. And on that note, why do you think, like, again, this is a tough thing to like, merge, you know, PTSD, mental health, psychology, combat, war, all that kind of stuff with church, spirituality, and faith. Mm-hmm. Why do you think the church maybe shies away from stories about PTSD?
I don't think necessarily the church as a whole, you know, shies away from it, but I will say that I think people in general seem to run away from things that they're unfamiliar with. Mm-hmm. So if we focus on the church for a second, I've been going to church most of my life and I don't see too many ministries that are called, you know, the PTSD ministry, you know, because it's not, like you said, it's not your standard problem that you see getting a lot of coverage and talked about. Cause there's always you know, a drug rehabilitation type thing. And there's always, but I just think it's not talked about enough. And that's why it's good that we're bringing attention to it. But I think people shy away from anything they're uncomfortable with. Mm-hmm. And if you look at the film and what people will see that the pastor in this film, this church didn't have no big major program that was designed around it. Although if a church decided to do that, especially if in your community, you know, it's big in your community, you should have a program designed for that. But let's just say you don't. You're going to see a great example in this film because the pastor didn't have no plan for that. What he had was he was willing to love my character. Mm-hmm. He was willing to listen to my character. And then he left the answers and the remedy up to God and prayed and just said, you know, it's like, God, use me however you can use me to help him. Mm-hmm. But he didn't shy away from it just because he was unfamiliar with the particular problem. Because again, we don't have to have all the answers. We just need to know the one who does. Mm-hmm. So if someone walks in and has a difficult issue, whether it's something you're familiar with or not, all you need to have is love, patience, and a listening ear, and be willing to pray. And you shouldn't shy away from anything. So I hope that that would be the church's approach with any issue, is to show love, be willing to listen, be willing to pray. And you can sit down with anybody, PTSD, you know, there's all, you know, you got divorce ministries, and you got, you know, rehab ministries, you got, you know, other addictions, all those other different things. Well, PTSD should be treated no different. Sit down, listen, love, and then pray, and then let God do the rest.
Oh, so good. I got goosebumps, or maybe I should say God bumps, all over right now, because this is something so near and dear to my heart too. And not even just the PTSD component of that, but just like mental health in general, right, especially from a male spouse perspective. We've talked a lot here on Army Wife Network about anxiety and depression, and, you know, that even military spouses can get PTSD. That's something that's not talked about, like the secondary traumatization from our service members hearing about what they've done, or walking alongside them as they recover from something, whether that's moral injury or, you know, something that has escalated into PTSD. And TC, you are just, gosh, you're so right that we don't have to bring our capability. You know, it's like, I don't feel equipped, but like knowing that God is going to equip us in the moment be able to love, to listen, to let these folks who are hurting, like, be seen and known and cared for, even if that's like, man, I do not have the answers, but I want to walk with you in this. I care about who you are and what's going on in your life.
Oh gosh, that could go so far. You know, mm-hmm. I mean, it's literally, I think it says something to that person for you to, if I was a veteran and I'm struggling, and I bring that up and you say, look, I don't have any experience with that. In fact, I'm quite nervous to even sit and listen because I don't know if I can help you, but I want to hear what you got to say. And I want to, you know, I want to be able to pray with you and just know what you're walking through. So anything I can do, I'm willing to do it. That person, the mere fact that you didn't use that as an escape route, like, oh, I don't know anything about no PTSD, I can't help you. But just to see, to have that happen and just be a listening ear, I just think is huge. And I will say for sure, don't even think about calling yourself a Christian if you're not going to, if you're going to let that cause you to not sit and listen to a person's pain. Because I don't think you're not always asking for the problem to be solved. It'd just be nice if you hear me, you know, I don't always need you to solve my problem. I need you to hear it, and we'll let the Lord take care of that stuff. But I just need to talk. And I'm glad you even brought up the fact, like, you know, this is the Army Wives Network, you know, wives of the soldiers or friends of the soldiers. If my wife was serving and you're seeing on TV and you're watching war movies or you're watching something and that soldier gets hurt in the movie, there's a strong chance, and you might even be able to speak to this, that, you know, you might have a nightmare that night about that, just thinking about your significant other. Or forget the movie, it's just the thought of knowing what he or she is stepping into, that you have, you know, that's a form of PTSD. People think that it's just the soldiers themselves, but it's post-traumatic stress. So it could be anything. Like for me, I lost my mom. You know, a lot of people know I lost my mom due to the COVID situation. That's the first time I've lost a parent. So for me, you know, I don't know what the future, because this just happens. So I don't know what the future holds for me in terms of when I see, you know, caskets and when I see, you know, the whole COVID thing. If I have a nightmare every single time because I'm thinking about my mom, that's a form of it, you know. Mm-hmm. So it at the end of the day, if anybody comes at you with anything, I'm encouraging anybody listening to just listen to them, hear them out. And you can even say a silent prayer to yourself, like, Lord, I don't know what I'm going to be able to do in the situation, but whatever you call on me to do,
yes,
I just want to deliver in this moment whatever I'm called to do, and I'll leave it to you. And so, you know, I know I kind of went off on a tangent there, but yeah, man, that is huge that we just be a listening ear and let the Lord carry it from there. Might see something amazing come out of it.
Absolutely. It's not up to us. It's not our, like what you said, TC, it's not our job to necessarily fix it, but just to like be present, because I think so many folks struggling with mental health issues that's one of the biggest challenges, that they don't feel seen or needed or cared or loved or wanted. And that's why it, you know, the ultimate end to some of these issues is suicide, which, you know, is alluded to in the film. And that's because, you know, when people get to that point, they just feel like the world would be better off if they weren't in it. And how just truly tragic and devastating that, you know, maybe we were put in a place or a time to, you know, walk with these folks and let them be seen and heard. And
yeah, because most people do that a lot of times. They, if a person is willing to take their own life, and they, a lot of times, and this is from, you know, from what I've experienced from researching this, and you probably know more about it than I do, but it's a feeling of hopelessness. Like you, you have no more options. But what happens when somebody is thinking about, you know, suicide or whatever, and that one person that took a moment to listen, they feel like, well, maybe I can talk to her again, or maybe I can talk to him again. It's that you might be the one option or the last thing that they feel like they can go to, because when no one else would listen, you at least listened. So you just never know what just having that heart, sitting down with somebody listening, how far that might go. And they don't feel like they're out of options because you listened. You just never know.
Oh, so good. This, again, this is something I'm so passionate about. It, like, I've been studying this. You know, you talked about how, you know, watching movies as a military spouse and whatnot. Like, I'm doing my dissertation research on mental health and, you know, secondary traumatization and PTSD and depression and all these things for military spouses and resilience and spirituality. So that I could just talk about this forever. But, you know, it's not about me today. this is not my interview. But, you know, speaking of being seen and heard and visible and valuable, TC, I do want to pass on my condolences for the loss of your mama. I'm so sorry to hear that. And I will remember you in my prayers this afternoon and this evening when my husband comes home, because we pray together frequently. And we'll get our kiddos in on it, too.
That's awesome. Thank you.
They're all about that, too. So, thinking about my brother's keeper, what would you say was the most rewarding part of that experience? What's your greatest takeaway?
You know, it's funny. I include the release of the movie and people seeing it as a part of it, of my experience. You know, so being that hasn't happened yet, I can't wait. I know what my answer is going to be if the result that I hope for comes of it. Which is similar to what you're telling me now. You being a person who has seen it, to say that, you know, hey, TC, I believe your performance. You know, because built into my performance is a lot of things. It's obviously the acting part, which every actor, if you don't care about that, there's something wrong with you if you're an actor, but having people believe you. But my character has to take the audience on this journey of faith. And if you come out of that also inspired by the journey, then that also means I did a good job at portraying that type of roller coaster of a ride it can be at times. And when I start hearing words like, I believed your performance and I was inspired by it, then that's going to for sure be the best part of this whole experience for me. As it stands, right now today, I would say it is the challenge that is so great, this being the toughest role that I've ever had to take on. And then up until now, like the directors and the producers and the people who cut it all up and looked at it and have seen it, kind of like yourself, telling me that, you know, you pull that thing off. And to be surrounded by, you know, great actors that help the whole project be great. Because the one thing I would have hated was if I did good and then everybody else was bad, or if everybody else was great and then I was terrible, and we just don't have a full complete project. But in this case, you know, I kind of was blessed to be able to be with these, you know, great actors. And so just to have conquered such a tough role in terms of completing it is very, very rewarding for me. Now the impact remains to be seen. I hope that is great.
I hope it is too. I think, again, it's something that needs to be talked about, needs to be seen on so many levels. And I hope it to be a home run, just hit it out of the park and people really to resonate with folks and their hearts and their minds and their lives and be like, wow, I get it and I want to be involved, or just be open. What we talked about a few moments ago, be open to walking with people or being like, I can't fix this, but I love you and I see you. That's let's find the resources, and God loves you, and letting them know, you know, all about that simply by their availability and their actions. TC, what's next for you? What's next on the docket?
Oh man, so much. In fact, just so I don't sound braggadocious here, I will just tell you, we redesigned my website so that right on the front page, it shows all the TC Stallings news. So if you go to my website, www.tcstallings.life, you can get real in depth, because we need a whole nother interview for that. So I'll give you the highlights. I'm executive producing with a brand new network that's coming out. It's called PAX TV, P-A-X TV. And basically, it's just a network that's going to be good, clean family entertainment, mostly original content. And my goal is to give other actors like myself who want to perform in those type of movies the opportunity to do it in a very easy way. Same thing with, you know, people who are creating films, and you don't want to go through all the riffraff and red tape of getting it seen. Our network is going to provide that, you know, so I'm really excited about that. I work with ClearPlay, which is a, if you're not familiar with ClearPlay, it's a company that helps to where you can filter out the inappropriate words or scenes or, you know, images in a movie and watch it to make it more family friendly for your family. I got my podcast myself that I just started called the TCS Live Show. I'm in my third episode of that. And I've seen, you know, my Brother's Keeper's coming out, and, you know, so, and then I got another TV show that I am, I can't even talk about that yet. So just know that I got a TV
That's classified, everybody.
That is classified. I'm doing a salute right now. So it's just, it's so many things going on. I'm helping actors, who also want to get into the clean entertainment business with a program called Uncompromised Christian Actor Coaching. And the only reason I'm focusing on Christians is because, you know, if you're willing to take anything, like you don't really honor God with your career, you're just willing to take anything. There's plenty of work for you already, and it's so easy to do. But when you're doing it the way that I'm doing it, where you honor God first, you get a lot of doors slammed in your face. So I've been through it. I've been successful. So I wanted to coach people on how to do that and hold your faith in the entertainment industry. So I've started that. So it's all on my website. I got a lot going on, but it's the good kind of stuff. It's all purposeful. And my autobiography, that's the last thing. Ooh. Eyes Fixed, my true life story. And I'm writing my my autobiography, and it's done. It's coming out June 9th, which is my 20th wedding anniversary.
Oh, cool.
And that's significant because my wife, I had her write the foreword. So, yeah, it's the first time I've ever had somebody in my family even do anything like this with me. But nobody knows me better than her, so I wanted her to write the foreword. So those are all the exciting little things that are going on, and I'm really, really in fact, my book is available for pre-order. If anybody wants to make sure to get a copy, my website has the autographed copies, and there'll be a limited number of those. So that's all what's going on. And I'm just really excited. It's a great time. And, you know, with everything going on right here in Texas, you know, we're all snowed out. I'm sure I don't know where this will, we should be recovered by the time this comes out. So if you're hearing me now, just know this, back when we're recording this, 4 million people are without power right now in Texas.
Mm-hmm.
And but the Lord has spared our home. And so we're looking to help other people since he spared us. So I'm blessed. I want to bless other people. So yeah, man, that's all that's going on right at this moment.
So it sounds like you've got a ton of spare time. Not a lot, just, you know, totally, totally free. It makes me feel super special that I get to talk with you today. I feel like I've kept it together really well this entire interview, but now I'm like, fangirling over here being like, he's got a book coming out. Hold on, let me pause this recording so I can go get an autographed copy. Like, I've got the page open. Oh my gosh. Yeah, holy cow.
Well, you've impacted me because, like I said, I'm talking to the wife of a soldier. And if you're telling me that you saw My Brother's Keeper and you believe what you saw, I can't tell you how much that means, because I put everything I had into being as authentic as possible. I almost felt like I had to fly back to duty when I was done.
Right. Leave is over. Block leave is over. Back to the line, man. Right. Back to the line.
So for you to say that to me, let me just tell you, extremely, extremely encouraging, because I know as a true, you know, wife of a soldier, you're not going to blow smoke like that. Mm. So, because that would be dishonoring to him. And so I received that, and I thank you for that. It means a lot to me as an actor. That's the whole goal, is for people to believe what you did.
Yeah. And again, this is something people need to see and hear. And it's never really, I don't think, been touched on. Definitely not with the angle that you all approach it. And TC, how you are foundationally, like, moving forward with your life, with your most important values up front, outright, speaking it out and claiming it, owning it, and sharing it with the world. Oh, I just feel like I need to go kick in some doors or something right now. Like, I'm so pumped.
That's awesome. That means a lot, man. That encourages me. We encourage each
other. Oh my gosh. I'm so jazzed. This is so good. Well, before we wrap up, remind our listeners one more time where they can go to find even more empowering information about the film My Brother's Keeper, because by the time this airs, it will be available on that March 19th date. Mm-hmm. And also, again, a reminder if they want to connect with any of those awesome things you shared with what's next on your docket.
All right, fantastic. So, you know, March 19th, so, you know, MBK's out and rolling. You can see it in theaters, you know, or at home. Hopefully you're enjoying that. As far as anything I'm doing, you go to www.tcstallings.life, L-I-F-E, and everything's right there on my homepage. You can just kind of go through there. And my book, you know, you can pre-order that and get the autographed copies right there on my website. The regular copies are available on Amazon. It's called Eyes Fixed. And then for everything else, I'm Real TC Stallings on Facebook. I need to come out with that.
There you Facebook. I like it. Write that down quick. Put that on your next things to do. Exactly. Put that on your docket.
Exactly. On Facebook. And then I'm TC Stallings on Twitter. And then Real TC Stallings on Instagram. And keep up with me that way. And so I look forward to just seeing what everybody thinks about the film. Hopefully it inspires you and you enjoy watching it as much as I did filming it.
Oh, I totally agree. I hope that this is like a really great on-ramp to start some conversations for folks. Maybe those who are struggling, maybe those who feel led to come alongside those who are struggling, or those military families. I just feel like it's fuel in a really great way to something that needs to be addressed, talked about, and viewed from, you know, in a way that's digestible, you know, through the entertainment industry, in a very clean and compassionate and intentional kind of way. Well, TC, if you haven't gathered, I've thoroughly enjoyed this conversation. I'm so pumped up right now. one of our favorite parts of the show here, because one of our pillars here at Army Wife Network, this is our 16th year of podcasting on the air. And so for 16 years, we've all been all about empowerment. So we love asking our guest what empowerment means to them. Could you complete this sentence? Empowerment is?
Living life on purpose, and that purpose being defined by Jesus and everything that he made you to be.
Living life on purpose. I'm writing this down. Oh, so good. To the glory of God, man. Sola Dei Gloria. Yes.
Yeah.
All the things. Oh, TC, thank you. Thank you. Thank you for taking time out of your schedule, for coming on our show to chat about your experience and the new film, the new movie, My Brother's Keeper, coming out. I appreciate your willingness to learn and research and just really press in and stretch yourself as an actor to share this very important message with our followers and fans and viewers around the world.
Thank you. And tell your husband, thank you for his service. And I include you in that as well, because I feel like, you know, married couples and families do it together. So thank you all for your service.
We appreciate your support and your willingness to talk about stuff that's just hard, but needs to be addressed. So we wish you all the best. And I can't wait to, you know, move you up to one of the top spots on my actor fan list this conversation. So it wasn't a hard move. It wasn't a hard move, man. Look at you. This is so good.
Woo. Gladly accept that. Thank you very much.
Mom. Fantastic. Well, we look forward to seeing your success to grow for God's glory and to keep that message going, both in front of the screen and behind the camera. Thank you so much, TC. God bless you.
Thank you. You too.
Man, that was a good one. Thanks to TC Stallings for sharing his heart in this interview. His character, Sergeant First Class Travis Fox, is certainly relatable for so many Army people in our Army Wife Network community. Again, if you would like to connect with TC, you can find him online via his website, tcstallings.life, or on Facebook at realtcstallings.com. Also, My Brother's Keeper is in theaters now and will be available digitally and on DVD via Amazon, Walmart, Target, Apple TV, and Fandango on May 11th. So check out mbkfilm.com for more info. And if you missed that, no worries. All the links will be in the show notes on armywifenetwork.com. And you can find them by clicking podcasts or searching for this episode.
You're not going to want to miss this for sure.
Oh my gosh, I agree. I love that he said like how much research and how much energy he poured into like the role and to make sure that he got it right so that it wasn't, you know, a film where it wasn't believable because, you know, key components were missing, but he actually was like very dedicated to make it as, you know, realistic as possible, which I think is so cool.
I think it's super important when people do their due diligence, and because no matter what role you play, the people who are already in that for life, like we are in the military life, we can pick it apart. But mm-hmm. I think the people who do the due diligence like him shine.
Yeah. And I think it just makes them that much more relatable. You know, they can obviously read a script and act, but I think there's a difference between doing that and then, you know, actually kind of putting yourself into character, having done the work makes it all that much better.
Yeah. His interview, definitely, you can feel the emotion about how he loved this role.
I never knew we could pack so much goodness into one Army Wife Talk Radio episode, but I stand corrected. We definitely can. And remember, listeners, if you would like to tap into the amazing resources offered by Ty, you can find him online at mbkfilm.com and on Facebook at MBK the Movie.
And I hate to say it, Maren, but we are at the end of our double feature show. However, listeners, we invite you to join us every Thursday at noon Eastern for our weekly Facebook Live, Mill Spouse Empowerment Moments, which we convert to a podcast. So if you need to catch it later, you absolutely can. You can subscribe to our podcast on Apple or Spotify, and be sure to check out our next full-length episode during next week with Susan Hunter and 77 Letters, Operation Morale Booster, Vietnam.
Also, another very important note, if you or someone you know has a product or service to share with our listeners, we would like you to join us in our mission to empower military families. So let's chat. Please email empower@armywifenetwork.com.
And one last thing, if you want to connect with Army Wife Network beyond the podcast, subscribe to our semi-monthly newsletter, The Sit Rep, on our website at armywifenetwork.com. You're just going to enter your email in the right sidebar. You won't be disappointed at all. This month featured tons of info about Month of the Military Child, and there's always a free printable to bring you some IRL or in real life empowerment. Some of the amazing reels you are seeing on our Instagram page. Yeah, Chrissy is also the brains behind our sit rep. So head on over and see what else she can do, which is pretty much everything. So yeah. We showcase our top blog posts, upcoming AWTR information, exclusive printables and giveaways, sponsor information, and so much more.
I love it. So much good stuff. Listeners, we think that military spouses are some of the strongest and most empowering people on the planet. It is truly an honor to share content with you, no matter what season of military life you find yourself in. Keep up the great work and remember that you can do hard things. Engage, educate, encourage. Army Wife Talk Radio is your source for military life empowerment. This is your Army Wife Network Command Team signing out.
Thank you for tuning in to Army Wife Talk Radio. The views and opinions expressed in our show are personal. AWTR is in no way affiliated with the Department of Defense or any other branch of the armed services, and inclusion in our show does not reflect endorsement by the DOD, any local government, or their agencies. Until the next episode, head over to www.armywifenetwork.com to connect with all of our empowering resources. Engage, educate, encourage. AWN is your source for military life empowerment.